You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form Experience Grind Podcast. The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest opinions on those experiences. Your wife now thinks we are the biggest fucking dorks in the world.
There's no way she can think that now after everything she's already seen.
She's lived with you for so long. So our guest is your lovely, not so lovely wife, Laura, now. Yeah. I got some animosity towards you, girl. Yeah. No, I don't. We're joined by her because... spoiler alert, if you don't know this, we're going to be talking about a kung fu movie today.
Yeah.
And you have established earlier along, I established it, that you are a permanent guest for any kung fu movie. And we will be discussing Kung Fu Hustle.
Yes.
The last one we talked about was The Raid 2, which was actually your recommendation.
Yeah.
And you started this whole thing, so the only reason you're on here making fun of my intro is your own goddamn doing.
God,
so,
I realize
thanks
that.
To that. No, Laura, I love you. Thanks.
It's okay.
You poke the diva, you get the horns.
Yeah, yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, this is my show, girl.
So one of our first orders of business in the new house was to like seal up as many cracks as we could and, you know, weatherproof it. But I mowed today, and so I had to go around the house with a broom and find like spiders and they're like little egg sacs and like crush them. And we got some monsters. There was actually one I was telling him. It was hiding under the leaf of my plant. It looked like a little... like hamburger. It was like real fat and round.
Weird.
And round.
Weird.
And it was all like, and it it was like, or it was like the size of like a giant Advil. It was really big though. It was like this big. So I had to give him a little like.
So you flicked him?
Well, I didn't want to squish him because it would have been
yeah, it would have
really
popped
gross.
Like a pimple,
yeah,
right?
So I just gave him a little.
I maybe
journey.
Maybe you know.
The air.
I love a lot of violent things, but I'm generally very much a pacifist.
I know. I don't really. If it weren't for him, I would probably just like let them.
That's what I save them all. Mandy will scream. Mandy's my Ryan.
Yeah.
She will scream, and I know that there's a bug in the house.
I did save one. There's a really cool garden spider on the porch that like does the zigzag in its web.
Okay.
So I told him that one's got to stay because I like that one, but all the others.
I usually capture them in cups and throw them outside. Although now. Any other insect that gets in the house, unfortunately, is... I just recently got a Venus flytrap.
Oh, cool.
And mm-hmm.
They don't really catch that many bugs, though.
No, that's, I got to feed them. I feel like a vengeful god, I guess. I feel bad because I'm totally feeding them to this
if
fucking sarlacc.
If you want
sarlacc.
A better pet, you need to get a praying mantis.
Well, but
they're awesome.
Praying mantis you got to keep in the cage, the flytrap.
You
just
get like
out.
One of those little things and you just mist it with water and yeah. Then you catch a bug. Like when we used to work in Korea, like the kids would bring the mantis its daily like offering, you know, and it would
That's
just like
awesome.
Eat the head off this cricket and all the kids were like, whoa. And so that was kind of like, I knew Ryan, we would be good together because despite his hatred for bugs, he let me keep this thing as a pet. And then we had we had rhinoceros beetles.
Those are badass.
And they're cool.
Oh,
and
so
they were so boring. They would just burrow in their little sawdust. And I said, these are boring. He's like, oh my God, they were flying around making all kinds of noise and like having sex and all this stuff. So every time I'd leave, they'd like fly and hit the cage and do all this stuff. And then they were like singing. And then when I was there, they were never there. So they'd always harass Ryan and the mantis too. What did you name her?
Beatrice.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Beatrice Kiddo. I get that reference,
yeah,
bro.
So she was cool and they all die in the fall. So we got to raise her up real big and then like watch her kind of.
Oh, she would still die even if she was inside?
They maybe last maybe 2 years, but yeah, usually they grow. Like we had a bunch of the little ones on our, I mean, they start out this big and then they grow to full size and lay their eggs and they pop out. But
so drinking at the 7-Eleven in Korea, that was the first time you guys met?
We worked at the same school, but that was probably one of the first times we had gone out after
drinking.
Class. Yeah.
It was the pool party. It was the first
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
I had a date with Oak that night and was hammered by, I don't know, 11 a.m.?
Is this Professor
yeah.
Oak from Pokemon? You
yes.
had a date with him?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
I think
did you show people your... know, Professor Oak is Korean
and
real.
And gay.
Yes.
He's bisexual.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah.
Well, he's open.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool. He flows both ways. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't either. Yeah.
I was trying to get a Pokemon pun in there.
I've been trying to think of one that's not Pikachu, and I can't, so I'm just not going to do it.
I played with his Jigglypuff.
There you go. I like that. I like that. It was better than a fucking, did you look at his Pikachu? Yeah, that's what I was going with, and I was like, no, that's terrible. Don't say it. And I said it, and it was still bad, and I knew I shouldn't have said it. So that's a lesson in comedy writing, kids.
Yeah.
Don't do it because you're probably not funny.
Ditto from me.
Yeah, like ditto. Like both of us.
Ditto.
Ditto's
a Pokemon.
Laura, we're going to talk about Kung Fu Hustle. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen this movie before?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, a lot of people have. It's a pretty popular one.
Mm-hmm. At the time, though, when it came out, I don't remember it being very popular. I think it gained some...
It's got a bit of a cult.
Yeah, because I remember telling people about this movie, and they were like, what are you talking about?
I amazingly saw this movie in theaters for the two weeks it was playing in America.
Oh, I didn't get to.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. I've always liked this movie.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it for a long time. Watching it now...
We rewatched it, too, yeah.
We got music.
Huh?
We got music bumper.
Oh, okay, sorry. I totally forgot this segue because we haven't had one for a bit. Ryan has a musical bumper. I hope it's the song that I want it to be.
Which is it the Axe Gang's music?
No, it's actually the song played at the end.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really cool mashup of like Western and Chinese. I say Western, I mean like Western movie, like the old Wild West with a Chinese flair. It's a really cool song.
It can be.
Yeah. If it is, cool. The Axe Gang song is also tight, and as well as the Dangerous Musicians song. There's a lot of good music in this movie, so whatever you pick.
So there will
here it is. That was that song. I'm sorry, I totally cut you off before we started. I don't know what you're going to say. And then your wife complained about the stuff in your teeth. I'm pulling this all out.
Amazing.
Did you get it?
Let's both see.
It's fine. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So gorgeous.
What? All right. So if we're, this is going to be in the fucking podcast.
Yeah, it is now, buddy.
Podcast. It was a piece of fucking red flake on my gum that you couldn't even see anyway, so there was no need for it to come out.
In your defense... I couldn't see.
No, nobody could see.
I'm not your wife.
They wouldn't be able to see.
I'm not your wife. But yeah, yeah.
I'm just helping you out.
You're not.
So you two right now are reminding me of the main couple in this movie. The landlord and her husband.
Okay.
Paris and Helena Troy.
Who's very, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. You remember their names. Yeah. The husband is Paris and the wife is Helen of Troy. I like that you don't find out till later that they are also Kung Fu masters.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to totally just get into spoiler territory at this point. If you haven't listened to Laura's lovely spoiler intro at the beginning, holy shit, surprise, there's spoilers here.
Yes.
Spoilers.
So I forget what the fuck I was going to say, though, before.
You're talking about Paris the Lady, the...
Yeah, but before...
How they were Kung Fu masters.
That, I was getting to some point.
Oh, the bickering.
No, it was before we did the bump, and then I totally forgot about our bump, so...
You're talking about the first time you saw it in the movie theater.
Oh, I remember now. So one of my notes for this movie... That I, you know, I'll just, there's a sincere love of Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
In this. very obvious that I didn't really pick up on until I was watching it for this episode. I was like, holy shit.
There's more, because there's also the prison break scene and things like that. I also saw not just that, but like classic Hollywood love too.
A lot of
there's
it,
there's kind of, they frame that opening scene like the lady in the red dress kind of business. And then there's like Fred Astaire posters and a lot of like Three Stooges, Chaplin kind of comedy gags.
There's a lot of slapstick.
Physical comedy, but old school. Like,
I put the connection to it
neat.
Last night, Pigsty Alley and that whole set.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty much like Rear Window. It's the same kind of apartment complex that Jimmy Stewart
but
had
instead,
where it's
there's
like a lot of the one take
people swatting
going.
Flies and a guy with his pants down taking a shit and just like weird stuff
that,
happening.
Okay, so
but
you
it
noticed
is,
that too.
It is like Rear Window
shit,
stuff.
That is totally a guy just taking a shit. And it's just a pan.
Yeah. And but like, it was.
I think it's the same guy who has his butt out in every shot. Yeah, like, okay. I think it's that guy.
But there's some really competent camera work in some pieces and things like that too. So I remember when I first saw this, I didn't know what to think, and there were things that I loved so much, and then some of the goofy stuff, I was just like, "What is happening?" But I also kind of appreciated its zaniness because it was really nothing I had ever seen before and didn't expect. And I'm not sure the CG holds up as well 12 years later, but what does hold up is the really well choreographed like fight scenes and things. So
I would agree with you there.
And I worried going into this because I thought there's a lot of CG, but really there wasn't as much as I thought there would be. There is still a lot of really solid like fight choreography and fun stuff in there too. So I was relieved to see that maybe.
I think it looks dated, the CG.
Yes,
speaking to that, very, but. Yeah. Because the movie's so kind of cartoony and
it
over
works.
The top, it doesn't bug me. It's
it
like
never pulls you
it's
out.
Like, it's a lot like Kung Fury that we talked about, where it's just, it's so over the top. Like, you put that in a different movie, it's not going to be believable, but in the framework of that universe, it's okay.
There's
like,
a lot of Looney Tunes, and it's almost like Roger Rabbit or something, but even like the flower pot falling on the husband's head.
That's one when
like
he gets bit
running.
By the cobras on the lips, and he's got the big lips, the way they
the
run.
The Wile E. Coyote running or Roadrunner
how they
running.
Rev up and then take it. Yeah, there's so much
she
Looney
hits
Tunes.
Like the billboard and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
The air when she's like getting ready to yell the landlady and how her whole body goes into like... can see the air passing like cartoonishly through her, or even like the her husband, like, and how he kind of like floats around.
He becomes rubbery.
Yeah.
What speaking of, I think one of my favorite scenes, if not my favorite, is the first time that we see the landlady do the lion's roar, and when she does that big suck up, you see the cigarette. Oh man, that's such a cool looking shot.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, oh, this is gonna be something crazy huge.
Yeah.
And then it is, and it's so fucking nice. It's very well done.
Yeah. And some of the CG's not, some of it, you know, with that kind of touch or something, some of that, it's, you know, that's, it holds up fine, you know, it's, they use it, it's weird, and I'm thinking it's, they use it sparingly and then heavily in some cases, but in some of their fight scenes, it's very, 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 very little touches of CG, very subtle touches, or it's a lot of wire work,
a
too.
A lot of wire work.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, you know, that's cool. And so we tried to think about it as a reference, like, you know, when did The Matrix come out? Like, that was, like, the high water mark for, like...
Wire work,
good special effects and CG at the time. And
it was 99.
Yeah, so...
And this was what year?
This is 2004. And for reference, Kill Bill just came out in 2003, at least Volume 1 did. So we already had like that whole House of Blue Leaf scenes and like the wire work there from Yuen Woo-ping. So I think Kung Fu Hustle kind of definitely has some influence from that because the Crazy 88s
but
are very similar to the Axe Gang.
But wasn't Tarantino influenced by older movies of a similar
just
nature?
Like they were, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a borrow from Tarantino. It's a borrow from...
The older films.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, again, you know, I said this a lot in Kung Fury, but this movie is definitely a love letter to older kung fu movies. And honestly, this movie is a giant love letter, I feel, to Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see a lot of Jackie Chan, like, just in the comedy, like, the comedy kung fu aspects. Like, they're using things... People are getting hit, but it's funny in a way. So,
yeah,
that's
Well, and the thing is, too, like, I remember in Korea, you know, we'd always like this, and we had talked to one of our Korean friends, and he's like, well, you need to watch his other movies. And I was like, whoa, he's got more, and a lot of them have never been brought over to English. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So, like, they're, like, on YouTube, and they're terrible quality, but, and they're...
No, I mean, they're good enough. They're fine.
They're
okay quality. Please watch them.
Yes,
they're great.
Yes, watch them, but it's interesting because, I mean, there's, like, no budget. A lot of them are, like, they basically be, like, a soap opera or something as far as... effects compared to this, but his comedic timing is just so great. And it's like, you know, we're watching it in you know, their language with the English subtitles, but it's just, and I'm wondering
it'd
how much
Chinese
it,
in case we didn't point that out, this is a Chinese film with yeah. subtitles, which I don't think we mentioned.
Yeah.
And if you've not seen it, you should know that going
you can
into
get
it
dubbed, of course, but like
don't do that.
Yeah, it but it's just like no. the timing is just it's just hilarious to me. Like the jokes are really funny, and just a lot of his other movies, they have that. So he's brought that into this movie where he's got more budget to do effects and things. And there's just like the ever like just nice little touches of foreshadowing. Like we were watching that as you come into the pigsty alley and you see the tailor and you see in they're working with their
the top and they so show you the, see rings. The rings
their
yeah,
weapon and
touch.
The things that are gonna come in later. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just real brief and it's just very competent in a movie that when you first watch it you're like, this is crazy. Like what is this guy doing? But the more you think about it, it's like, well, there's really competent, you know, direction here. There's a lot of really deliberate things. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So
I do like how all the kung fu masters living in obscurity still have all of their weapons
yeah.
around
Dubai.
Them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who makes the donuts is using all of his mm-hmm. he's a
whose
staff
name
warrior.
Is Donut.
That's what they call him. But yeah, he uses his staffs to roll the dough mm-hmm. and the guy who's just very strong, you see him lifting a lot of flour. Mm-hmm. I like that shot where he like kicks the last one up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really nice touch.
Mm. Well, there are so many good touches, and the film is very smart. The first big Stephen Chow movie that came to America was Shaolin Soccer. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was good at the time. I didn't love it. Like, I fell in love with Kung Fu Hustle. But the first time Stephen Chow's character enters, he's one of the gang members he's pretending to be part of the Axe Gang. And so he's playing the bad boy, and he meets this group of kids with a soccer ball. And he starts playing with it, and you see really good soccer skill, calling reference to his previous mm-hmm. part in Shaolin Soccer before destroying it and making the kids cry and trying to extort money. Mm-hmm. But like, I just love everything his character does. And it's, if you watch a bunch of these Stephen Chow movies like I have, like he plays the same character
yeah.
each
exactly.
time,
yeah. Yeah.
which is like,
the lovable loser.
The lovable
this
loser.
This time he gets to
he's
be
almost
the
like
hero.
Too dumb for his own good con man. Like he's always trying to act like he's smarter than everybody in the movie, but everybody in the movie knows he isn't.
Yeah.
And that's never not funny. And I've seen that now like 10, 12 times in his movies, and I still laugh, and I still think it's hilarious.
Well, it's like even the costume details, too, because when you meet the Beast, and he's got these, like, ridiculous, like, flip-flops, and I don't know
the
if
jelly
it's...
jelly flip-flops.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's funnier to me, because we've lived in Korea, and it is really how people just walk around, like, mm-hmm. you know, and my dad, his first time going to Korea, he's like, why are these guys wearing, like, pink sandals? Like, it's just, they don't give a shit.
No,
it's really just a great visual gag.
But it is, and there's a lot of those visual gags, just like, I mean, there's a lot of really small things that are part of the costume, and even, like, what were you talking about? And I don't know, it made me laugh out loud, but after you have the musicians come in and the landlady like lion roars and then they sit in the back and she's like, you know, get out of town. And so you have the boss and his hand shaking and his little, you know, his helpers, his hand shaking. And then they like light his fucking hair on fire.
Yeah.
And it just made me laugh because it's such an inappropriate thing to happen during a serious moment.
Yeah.
It's just stupid, but it's funny. It is slapstick and it's just really like well-timed and it's just silly. It's a good time to watch this movie because if you've not seen it, it's if you like these kind of good. I mean, there's competent fight scenes and things, but there's a lot of other stuff that's just really surprising and fun.
What one of the big surprises? I like how at the beginning and even still rewatching it this time, I found myself doing this. You don't like the landlady and her husband at
no,
the beginning,
mm-mm.
but by the end, they're the fucking best characters.
Mm-hmm.
They're so awesome. I love
mm-hmm.
when they're at the casino and they're just there undercover, and everybody
mm-hmm.
else runs away.
Yeah.
And you
see like the shot from the back of everybody running away, and you just see these two people sitting, and it's a really far wide shot,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I bet that's them. And then it fucking is them, and you're like, well, yeah, because they don't care.
In Hawaiian tourist t-shirts. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, but what's cool about that, too, is having the bees sit across from them, and it has that element of those old, like, Rated did this, too, where it's like, I don't hate you. I'm just like, you know, I'm honored to fight you.
Yeah, I just
want
a challenge.
Yeah, and it is like those old kind
of
like.
It's like the story of One Punch Man, too. Like
yeah.
He's just searching for somebody who can equal him. He's so easily decimated every challenge he's ever been.
So that's a neat touch. That it's not like, I'm bad guy, you good guy, we fight now. Like,
it's about honor.
Yeah, it was neat. So
I like that. I like his big dumb friend.
Yes. I don't know his name, but yeah.
I don't either. I think another one of my favorite parts.
Bone. His name is Bone.
Is where they go back to Pigsty Alley and they're trying to throw the knives at the landlady.
Yeah.
And
who
Stephen
threw a
Cho
handle at me?
Just gets stabbed like three different times. Mm-hmm. That part is so good, and it's
I love the knife scene.
Yeah,
part.
Who's throwing handles?
It's so slapstick-y It's a physical comedy, but in a way that I've not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, and things just keep getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, when he gets stabbed with the two spears.
Yeah,
like it's so much better than that scene in Ace Ventura.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good scene.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, it is good, but like the way it plays out in this one, it's so much better because you can tell that it's hurting him, and he's just getting more annoyed as each one gets. And then, I don't know, when Bone goes to throw the last one and he just reaches around and stabs him. And then, like, Loris, he throws the handle instead of the knife.
And then the landlady gets hit with the handle and just goes, who's throwing handles?
it's all so well done.
It is.
I will go back real quick because I do take offense. You said you do not like the landlord and the landlady at the beginning.
No.
And I do.
Well, but they're not like,
love them.
They're not like good characters.
Yeah,
terrible people.
So she's kind of a terrible person, but he's just like a lovable scoundrel. And I told Laura, we were watching this movie last night again for the podcast, and it's been 7-8 years
it's
since I saw
it last
time. It's
been about that long since I've seen it, too.
Yeah, it's been a while. So like, what they call Rabbit Tooth Jane comes in, and then like that landlord makes her kiss him. And, like, all of this stuff starts happening. And I'm like, Laura, it's like I'm going back to, like, a high school reunion. These are, like, my weird friends. And I love and miss them. Like, I love him, that landlord, in the beginning. And, like, that whole flower pot guy is in the beginning.
And, when the fight starts and then he looks over at that one guy with his butt out. And then he just puts all the dirt back around
his
head.
Yeah.
He wakes up in the middle of the fight and then keeps playing dead.
I like that it's playing up to them trying to hide in plain sight. Like,
yes, yeah.
They know that if they let it be known that they're people are going to be drawn to that just to challenge them. And they...
Yeah.
At the end, they do care about the people, and they want them to just live their lives.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe part of it's lost in translation, too, because the landlady is constantly harping everybody about owing her rent, but she never does anything about it.
No, she just yells
like
about it a lot.
Threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, maybe a bit's lost in translation there, where, like, she really is just hiding in the heart of gold, and, you know, so... I get what you're saying, but I think at the beginning you're not supposed to really like them.
No,
and then that's what makes their turn towards the end even so much better. So
yeah. I think you hit on something when you're talking about like keeping their secrets, because it's something I noticed last night that I'd never noticed before, is every fight is resolved by a secret person coming up with power. Mm-hmm. Like there is not a fight in this movie where somebody doesn't come in at the last minute and it's like, oh, wait, they have power? Oh, okay, and then the tide turns. That's every single fight does that. From the opening with the Axe Gang, you see these gangsters, like, fighting the policemen. And then, oh, wait, these gangsters are scared of the Axe guys who show up, and they have the power. And then, you know, the Taylor, the donut guy, they show up. Oh, they have power. And then the next one, they get beat. But, oh, wait, the landlord and the landlady have power. Oh, and then they get beat. But, oh, wait, Stephen Cho now has power. Like, that is...
I like how
it's
they explain him.
That.
His power got awakened because the beast beat him so badly he opened up
his cheat.
He
realigned
his
cheat. Yeah.
It's so great.
All right. So I know what your favorite scene in the movie is. I want to talk about favorite scenes.
Which one's
that? I think it's the one that I forgot about that you're like, how could you forget that? I think that might be it. But my favorite scene is when the beast comes and he fights Stephen Cho's character and just beats him into the ground after he like tries to hit him in the head with like the baseball bat, and it shatters, and he just gets his head pounded into the ground. And then Stephen Cho reaches over and grabs like a piece
stick.
Of the tree and just goes like, doink.
Yeah. That is, yeah.
It's such a, and like, it's so defiant. Like, it is, but it's like in a moment that's very serious. This guy's getting devastated, but like it's the little joke. Like Stephen Cho cannot go for 5 minutes without like getting some kind of joke in there, some kind of visual gag, mm-hmm. and that's maybe like the hardest I laughed last night.
Excellent. Okay.
Which one do you think's my favorite?
Eagle step boost.
That's one. That is not
awesome.
A scene.
That is an awesome part.
Like so hilarious. Yeah. I was like, he was like, I forgot that.
That part is pretty great too.
He's like been punched into the air, and he's like just flying towards space, and then he kind of starts to slow down, and there's like this eagle flying by, and he just steps on it, and it goes, Gah!
And he jumps a little higher.
It's so funny.
That scene is pretty great too.
No, I think for me, like when I knew I was really gonna like this movie when I first saw it was when the two like musician assassins come in. And I loved watching it this time around because that music paired with that fighting, paired with that creative, surreal kind of weapon was just really neat. And I see, yeah, you've got it. But the way they introduced the those guys, because you know that they're gonna come in and do some shit, you know, but like you don't know what they do. And you see that that strong guy walk in, and the things are just getting sliced off in the air around him. And then you see this cat jump off the building.
Oh,
and
you cut in half?
And it's shadow, yeah. You know.
The silhouette gets cut.
And it's just a really neat way to introduce a bad guy and a weapon. And
I like the way that they sit on nothing.
Yes.
That's a really cool thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of neat little touches with that, but it was just really.
And I like the way that they do fight with the music, and they're really throwing out like apparitions.
But it's this beautiful,
yeah.
You know, music too, and it's just really neat. And I just thought it was just a well put together scene. It's really cool, and if it's your first time seeing it, it's a lot of surprises.
Yeah, it's really great. That's the one that I think stands out generally. Mm-hmm. That's the one most people remember is that mm-hmm. fight scene.
Because
it's so cool and so unique. Like, you've not seen something like that before.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think all the fight scenes have something that's unique. Like, the frog style reveal
really
at the
cool.
end. It's like, where else are you going to see?
Or even during that fight, the foot stomping. And he's like, what kind of move is that? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Something I noticed about Toad Style before that I had not noticed before watching this. But when he goes to rescue the beast, there's toads all along that hallway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's the first time I noticed it last night, too.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
Like they were foreshadowing.
Of course. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on here.
Yeah.
But what was your favorite part? One of your favorite parts?
Easily my favorite part of this entire movie is the first time that we meet Stephen Cho and Bone, where Bone passes out in the barber's chair. So Stephen Cho is challenging everybody to the fight. And so the first guy he picks is a guy he thinks is short. And he's like, come on, short stack, you fight me. And then that guy stands up and he's a huge, tall giant. He's like, no, not you. No, I'm sorry, not you. And then he points at some guy and calls him Four Eyes. And that guy comes up and he's a super buff, ripped dude. And he's like, no, not you. I meant that kid. You kid, you fight me. And then the kid walks through the crowd. And he's also super buff and ripped and jacked.
It's
and,
like a Stooges
scene. Yeah, it's
scene
just
or
so much visual
funny.
Gag right there. And it's... I don't know. It's also great. He's he's trying to pick out the weakest to fight them, and then it just keeps getting worse for him. So
yeah,
yeah. That's a good introduction.
Yeah, I guess one of the last things I want to talk about is the love interest in this movie. He and oh my god, it's like such a horrible flashback where he thinks he's like getting the Buddha teachings and then gets beat up by bullies, and it's hilarious. And then he starts to get peed on.
That's the part. I was like, holy shit,
like,
this kid is getting peed on.
And it's not as funny.
This is going harsh.
Yeah. And then it was all to defend a mute girl and like help her keep her lollipop from these bullies. And then he serendipitously meets up with her later
on. Continues to behave badly.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's still like a turd, but she has the lollipop. She's been saving it for him. And it's, literally, I remember it being such a big part of this movie, but it's only
three very brief
scenes.
And it's very simple,
so
but it conveys a lot.
Well, and what I like about it is because he's a dick to her and doesn't recognize her because of what those bullies did to him. Mm-hmm. And he tells Bone, his big dumb friend, bad guys always win, so I want to be the bad guy. Good guys never get what they need because he tried to be the good guy and got beat up and peed on. So that's going to last with a kid. But again, of course, you know, pure true. true hero character turn. Yeah. He becomes the hero.
Yeah.
Does that great fucking Budo sky palm.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. But I also like at the end because I almost felt like it left you up with maybe a sequel because they show that little booger nose kid and they're like, here's this 10-cent manual. And the kid's like, nah. And they're like, what about these other five? Yeah.
I think that's a perfect ending. And I also love right before like the reunion and the shot, that camera shot where they go around both of them swirling and then. As they go behind each other's back, it's like the little kid actors of the two.
Yeah,
and they're literally they
just sweetly go into the
literally candy store kids going into a candy store. Yeah,
and it's just it's simple, it's sweet. If you don't like love stories, it takes up 5 minutes of the movie,
and
so,
it works. Yeah,
and it's effective. Yeah, I think it's really well done.
Yeah, I agree.
It's great.
I mean, I love this movie. I would recommend it in 2004 when I saw it. I recommended it.
I think too. I remember, and I was telling him. You know, because you go through that early relationship stage where you're like, well, what kind of movies do you like? You know, and it's like, oh, you like that? Never mind. Like, we can't see each other anymore. But we matched up on everything. But it was so funny because you get to this one. I remember
except
watching
for Madea movies.
I've not given Madea a chance. We'll have to do it. Well, I don't know about it. Like,
no,
so
not many people would agree with me.
But So we'll just have to. You'll have to break me in on that. But I remember watching this, and maybe with my brother. My brother's got like a sideways sense of humor too, like me. You know, we both kind of. And I just remember like asking people about it. Nobody had heard about it, or a couple people were like, "That's stupid."
Of course.
And then I was just kind of like, "This is one that's been on my like, oh, here's my." Public favorite movies list, and then here's this other one over here.
Yeah,
because I was almost not like I was ashamed of it, but it was like nobody heard of it, and it was weird, and it doesn't really fit into a category like real nice and neatly, and I just didn't really know what exactly to make of it, but I knew I really had a lot of fun watching it, and I knew it was one that I did not easily forget ever, you know, because it was just so different. So you know, it holds up, and now I hear, like, and you know, we had shared that, and he was like, oh my God, you love Kung Fu Hustle? Like, nobody loves Kung Fu Hustle,
it's
you know?
True. It's
so,
very rare that you meet people that have even
seen neat.
It.
Yeah, there's cult films, and then there's this film, which is forgotten, and even at the time, not a lot of people knew about.
I would also recommend it. It is a little rough around the edges. Yeah. I do think it has some pacing problems, but I've seen movies with way worse. You can get through them. And it is enjoyable at the end of the day. It's weird that
it's weird.
It's weird in the fact that, like, you will laugh out loud, I'm pretty sure, a couple times. There are some really funny bits.
Because it's like little things that you don't expect to happen. Yeah. Just like, you know, these little tiny gags, but they're just so well timed that it's just like, it's just ridiculous. It's fun.
In all honesty, would compare it to like an Edgar Wright film, whereas it's a mock-up of a genre, but, like, so lovingly done with great attention to detail. And, like, the fights are really
very
good.
Very
and
kinetic.
Still hold up. Like,
and
the fights are still engaging even today. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good for what it is, and it's good as a spoof, and it's good as a kung fu genre film.
Yeah, I would agree. So
I highly recommend
it. We have three recommends, two highly, one. Yeah, you should watch it. I'm not knocking it. I think it's great. It is rough.
No, it's okay.
So, but it's okay. I think if you haven't seen it,
I've been listening to some of your recent podcasts, and I think that you're taking on I think you're turning down your hype. I think you're being more critical lately.
I am a victim of my own hype.
So are you overcorrecting lately? Because some of your things you've been like, meh.
Maybe. I do tend to overhype Nathan is my biggest critic on this. He's like, you say everything is the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
That's good, though, because you have fun.
I do. But
I'd like to be critical.
It burns me a whole lot because I overhype things and then I experience them. I'm like, well, that was
like 5 years later after the shine's worn off a little.
even as soon as it happens. I'm trying to, you know. Honestly, the last one that fucking burned me was 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh.
You're so wrong about
it. I fucking overhyped myself so hard on
that.
We
have an episode
on
that.
Yeah,
if you haven't
do.
Heard it, listen to our 10 Cloverfield
you really
Lane
should.
Episode.
And Nathan's on that episode. Yeah.
He's the nice middleman between us.
Yeah. Not so much in BVS. I'm totally by myself there. But,
as you rightfully should
be. I should.
It's garbage. Garbage movie for garbage.
Anyways. So, I think we're going to end here, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, kung fu movie again. It's a great kung fu movie. It's got excellent fight scenes.
It is super fun.
Yeah, and it is fun, and you will laugh. I'm not lying. If you haven't seen it yet.
It's not on Netflix. You'll have to rent it through Amazon, sadly. But I will say, if you liked Kung Fu Hustle, Journey to the West
I haven't seen that
is one. A Stephen Chow movie that came out And it's on Netflix right now.
I like anything like Steven Seagal. I'm like you.
Watch that movie.
He's also always pretty consistent.
Yeah,
so.
It's always good.
If here's the big defining
great effect. Films, they're fun.
If you like Jackie Chan, I'm pretty sure you'll like Kung Fu Hustle. Yes. So there you go. Yeah. That's where we'll leave it. Mm-hmm. So, Laura, thank you as always for sitting in. I know we got a lot more kung fu movies we're gonna talk about.
I need to watch a lot more.
Yeah,
well, I have other interests too.
Okay, well, let me know, girl. You're just our kung fu gal.
So. I guess. I didn't realize that I became
maybe
that.
Maybe we do a Jackie Chan movie proper next time.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I think the best one is
Shanghai Nights. On it. Yep.
Legend of the Drunken Master.
Rush Hour.
I was going to say Drunken Master's probably.
Rush Hour. Why would you go with three? You're just being contentious. I know, but three is the worst.
What's
one.
What's the babysitter one he's part of? Accidental Spy. Done.
Yeah. And then there's the one that he did with Jennifer Love Huge Tits. Which is The Medallion.
I love Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Who doesn't? She's a terrible Hewitt. Actress, but man, I'll watch her in anything, by God, I tell you that.
That was Hugh Laurie's nickname in college, was Hewitt.
Really?
No, I don't know that.
I've always called her Jennifer Love Huge Tits. That's Jennifer Love Hewitt, by the way, if anybody
knows. Did she always have huge tits? I felt like it was just like ever since she came onto The Ghost Whisperer.
She didn't Can't Hardly Wait, though.
Yeah. I don't think she did have big tits in Can't Hardly Wait.
Let's watch Can't Hardly Wait and we'll decide.
I love Can't Hardly Wait.
I like that's another time capsule one.
I love Seth Green.
I liked it at the time. I don't know if
it's got Jenna Elfman, too.
As the angel, Darla.
I think maybe
I... No, that's not right.
Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and Greg. Yeah, let's do that one too.
This motherfucker.
All right, we're done. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much.
I love having you on the show.
You are our
second most frequent guest now.
Other than Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan's moved out of town, though. That bitch is gone.
Yeah, you're going to take this title over as most Nathan frequent guest. That bitch
is gone.
He
seems like a really nice guy. Poor Nathan.
Eat a dick, Nathan. Go fuck yourself. That's who I'm telling to go fuck himself
Nathan
now.
Nathan has the best Facebook. I love his Facebook.
We love you, Nathan. You got to come back and visit us and get on the show again. Laura's coming for your title. We love you guys as always. You know, hit out with us, hit us up. Fresh news as of yesterday, we are now listed on the Google Play Store as well as iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube. You have no excuse to not listen to this show. I know if you are listening, you already are finding us somehow.
Yeah. We're even on weird sites like Blueberry.
Yeah, Blueberry. That's
Blueberry? No, there's no E. It's Blueberry.
Is it Blueberry? I don't know.
It's Blueberry.
Blubbery?
It's Blubbery. Yeah, it's Blubbery.
That actually makes a lot more sense because I've always read it as Blueberry.
It's
but
totally
Blubbery. Blubbery works so much better. But yeah, so find us, you fucking idiots. if you're listening, you've already found us, and I just called you an idiot for no reason.
That sounds about right.
But I do that a lot. But thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you soon. Grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan. And if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.